Welcome to Building Bridges, a podcast created to connect people in community. I'm your host, Lucy Kelly. I am the Director of Campus Ministries at Church of the Master United Methodist, which shares a rich history with Otterbein University. I recently had the pleasure of connecting with Reverend Dr. Judy Guyon-Utzler. Reverend Guyon-Utzler is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. She holds a PhD in higher education and student affairs from The Ohio State University. She is certified in spiritual direction, is an anti-racist educator, and the chaplain at Otterbein University in Ohio, where she also teaches a couple of courses. I wanted to talk with Judy to connect our students, church, and the wider community to what the atmosphere has been like this spring during a pandemic at Otterbein.
Students are really stressed out. The continued modified courses, some are in person, some are distant, some are blended. Some students are living with immunocompromised adults and have to do everything from a distance. Some end up getting exposed or start feeling ill and need to be on Zoom for a little while. And it's very stressful not to know exactly what's going to happen week to week. It's stressful for people who are teaching too. I'm finding myself trying to host both a Zoom class and an in-person class at the same time. And I'm not very good at it. I'm doing the best I can, but it's really hard to keep up with chat function for 7 people and in-person conversation with 16 more. Students really need a break. And so I, for one, have scheduled time off. My students are required to do some interviews. And so I decided that they would have time off this week to finish those interviews and some of the work that needs to be done around that. But it's a very, very stressful time of the semester, particularly with things coming up that would be things to look forward to that we can't do right now. So graduation is still up in the air. I think we are going to be able to do some in-person graduation ceremony outdoors and with limited seating. We're still trying to figure out how to do a baccalaureate service. All of the celebration of service and the academic awards convocation and so many things that are just part of spring at Otterbein, we couldn't do last year at all. And we really can't do them this year either. And so that makes the time feel like it's dragging on even more.
What do you get also general feeling of any staff you've been around, say within our food service or other areas of staff? Are you getting sort of the same feeling of exhaustion, or is there a different atmosphere maybe there?
I think for some staff, I'm on the student affairs staff, and this semester's COVID load is so much lower. We have so many fewer active cases, quarantines. So there's a little sense of normalcy coming back for some of the staff. Now that's in student affairs. There may be other places that are actually dealing with a lot more. But I actually talked to one of my colleagues who said, I'm able to do my job right now. And she hasn't been able to attend to her actual job in her job description since sometime last summer, because she's been managing COVID testing and the COVID hotline and quarantining and all of that. And there's a team of people who've been doing that work. So for some staff, it may feel like there's a bit of a breather, but then at the same time, we're in the middle of residence hall selection. And we're already starting to work on next year. So the student affairs staff at the Center for Student Involvement, they're down staff. They don't have enough staff. And they're trying to get things ready for orientation and Greek life and student organizations. And so they may have a different story to tell. But I do know for some people, there is a little space to breathe because we have fewer COVID positives right now.
Is there a tangible difference between this semester and last?
I think, as you said, sometimes spring semester feels like it goes faster. I'm guessing that students are feeling pretty much the same at this point in the semester as they did at this point in fall semester, where there's supposed to be a break and there just can't be one. And the reasons for that are really good reasons. We're working with the Franklin County Health department. We're trying to figure out the best way to mitigate the spread of COVID. We're trying to make sure that students are as safe as we can make them. And if students go off on a spring break for a week someplace else, they're more likely to get exposed. They're more likely to come back. We're more likely to have more cases again, which isn't very good for anybody. So I understand why we're doing it this way. I also understand that it really is quite a burden for everybody. People on staff aren't getting any of the holidays that we're generally used to having during spring semester. So we haven't had any paid time off other than vacation or sick days that we take ourselves this year. We don't have Good Friday off. There, none of those, you know, little dates that are spread throughout the year are part of our schedules this year. And that's, again, to try to stem whatever risks we have around COVID to make sure that people stay safe.
How do you think this pandemic has affected higher learning at Otterbein?
I don't know a student who isn't struggling right now. Some are struggling less. Students who are very self-motivated to begin with, who are very organized, who schedule their time very, very efficiently. That's not the norm for students, but there are some students who are like that, who are very regimented in the way they do things. I think the structure that we have right now works for them because they can schedule ahead. But students who need connection are not getting connection. The things that they do for fun often during a normal semester are not available right now. Student organizations can't meet with more than 15 people. They have to have a faculty advisor there to make sure that they're observing all of the COVID restrictions. The marching band couldn't march. We don't have intercollegiate sports. Even working out is challenging right now because we have to rotate athletes in and out of that space so that there's not just general open hours all day long. There's a very specific set of hours for people to go in. Certainly there's no parties sanctioned. I'm sure there are parties, but fraternity and sorority recruitment was in the spring. All of their education was in the spring, but a lot of the traditional parts of sorority and fraternity life have to be kind of put on hold right now. All of those things are stress relief. To be connected. So to not have those things and to feel like the schoolwork is never ending and to lack connection with people on a daily basis, it adds up to quite a lot of stress for students. I know a lot of my students have been emailing me about, can I have a extension on this deadline? I'm trying to be super flexible with things because I know students are dealing with an awful lot right now. I had one student ask if it was possible for her to just hand in everything in at the end of the semester. And I said no, because I don't want her to have in a week all of her assignments that she has to try to figure out how to complete. But I'm working with her on, okay, let's figure out the best days for you to hand things in when you have a little more time around other coursework to get everything handed in. I think she'll be very successful at that, but it is not surprising to find somebody who says, I just need it to stop. And you just can't, in the middle of a college semester, you can't just say, okay, we're done now. There still has to be learning that continues.
Absolutely. Well, you're still an accredited school.
Yes. Now, we're accredited by the Higher Learning Commission, and there are a certain number of hours that students are expected to be in their seats, which is why the schedule seems so inflexible. Professors can be flexible in the way they schedule classes, but the university as a whole has to say, if you're taking a this credit hours, there have to be this many hours that you're supposed to be in your seat. And those are pretty important to make sure that people are getting a credit hour for a credit hour's worth of work, that there's some standards in there. And again, professors can be a little more flexible around that, give assignments that are due without having seat time, but it does make it very difficult. And I think if students don't understand that there are some real restrictions for the institution around how we schedule and hours that need to be in the classroom, and then all of the complexity for the registrar to manage. You know, if we were to have a day off, we'd have to make that up someplace. If we were to have a week off, we'd have to you know, aside from all the COVID issues, it would just be really hard to figure out how to schedule the rest of the time so that we're in compliance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but I don't know how well that's articulated at Otterbein to students. I know in my undergrad experience, that wasn't something, mind you, we didn't face a pandemic. It's a matter of people's time, but in order to stay in an accredited university and with the excellence that Otterbein holds, that requires a lot of factors. Thank you for listening to Building Bridges. We're currently talking with the chaplain at Otterbein University, Reverend Dr. Judy Guyon-Utzler, and she's discussing with us some resources students have to understand the structure of the coursework and what's involved in dealing with the pandemic at an undergrad university right now.
I would also say that President Comerford and our provost, Wendy Sherman Heckler, are very available for students who want to talk about it. They've been having online office hours. If students are feeling frustrated or don't understand how something is set up, there are no secrets being hidden and held back. I've said this to freshman parents for the last several years. There is no person sitting at the top of a Towers classroom cackling about how we're going to try really hard to ruin people's lives for this semester. Everybody's doing what they can to make the situation the best it can be. And President Comerford and Provost Sherman Heckler are very happy to meet with students to explain to them. And they have tried to communicate a lot of this. There have been a lot of things that have gone out, letters that President Comerford has sent out to students and things that have gone out to faculty and staff for us to communicate to students. But that doesn't mean that all students hear and or understand all of that. It's hard to get all of that communication where we want it to go.
That is a gift, though, to have a university president that is accessible. In your role as chaplain, are you seeing any difference in students seeking out your guidance during this time?
I saw an increase last fall. I had more students who were contacting me to set up Zoom time. And some of those situations were quite serious and students really needed somebody to work through certain things with. This semester, it's been a lot less. And I think partly because the students that I was meeting with last semester, some of them have been able to manage the crisis or have changed situations enough where they don't need to talk as often. But this has been the really frustrating thing about being a chaplain during a pandemic. I'm not connected with students very well either. Outside of teaching my class, I can't be in a place where I can just hang out with students. There's not a way to do that. And so I think it's pretty easy for students to forget that I'm an advocate and an ally, and that even if Zoom is not nearly as much connection as it would be sitting in my office, they're still able to contact me. I did a department-wide session on meditation and stress relief, sort of from a spiritual perspective. And I did have students who said, oh yeah, we've got a chaplain. And so I've had a couple of connections from that. And that's something I need to do more of, I think. And I have this presentation ready. And so I'm going to make sure other departments know that if their students need an hour long or 45 minute long, let's talk about some techniques that might help stress relief that I could be available to offer that.
Do you think students in general are well informed as the resources available to them by Otterbein, such as mental health resources, academic assistance, tutors, spiritual guidance, those sorts of things?
This has been the number one challenge at Otterbein since I got there 8 years ago, trying to find the ways to reach the most students with the best information in a way that students will be able to receive it and process it. Students get too many emails, so they don't always read all of their emails. Social media changes so quickly that what one cohort may use may not be used by a different cohort. Televisions with announcements on them in various lobbies and things sometimes seems to work. Honestly, the thing that worked best for a while were the little trifolds on top of the dining hall tables. And now, of course, dining hall looks very different and it has to be very different. So communication has always been really difficult. But I think one of the things that Otterbein has done really well is our first year experience classes and the peer mentors. So every student has to take either a first year experience class or a transfer year experience class. And peer mentors in those classes are deliberate and intentional about sharing with all the freshmen all of the different kinds of resources on campus. So they spend a lot of time talking about the counseling center and the availability of the counseling center, academic assistance, the Center for Student Success, the tutoring center, the writing center, the math lab. Promise House gets a lot of advertising and marketing because it is so central to so many students filling those basic needs of dealing with food insecurity, supplies that they may need. And it becomes a really good place for students to feel connected. So I think they do a really good job of making sure that all those basics are covered. The spiritual guidance is generally discussed during counseling as well. So it's an aside to counseling. Again, this year, I've put together a program with the Counseling Center about suicide prevention for faculty and staff so that they can understand what signs to look for and what the tasks are. But again, it's really difficult to be a chaplain in the midst of COVID because it's really hard for students to feel connected right now. And that's what they need the most. But I do think in general, students are very well informed about what resources are on campus. Their RAs know exactly where to send them. People in the commuter lounge, they're right there in Towers Hall. There are people there who can help them get to resources. I think Otterbein does a really good job with that. Announcements about events, sometimes it's really hard to figure out the best way to get that information. But our peer mentor program is excellent.
If there was some spiritual guidance you could offer up in this space for students, what would it be?
Whether people are practicing a particular religious tradition or are atheist or agnostic, those folks who identify themselves as spiritual but not religious, people who don't even think about it very much and just don't give it much space in their thoughts, there are things that every person can do to feel more spiritually connected. And those are things that I recommend. Breathing. When you're nervous, when you're anxious, your breathing is very shallow. And oxygen doesn't get to all the places in your body that really needs more oxygen. So spending a couple of minutes every day just breathing deeply can make a difference in your stress levels. I spend time meditating every day. And for me, I'm a Christian. I'm a United Methodist Christian. So for me, meditation is a spiritual connection with God. Meditation can be just silence and learning how to block out the cacophony that invades our brains every day with all the things we're thinking about all the time. Counting your own heartbeat or your breaths is wonderful meditation. Thinking about people you love is wonderful meditation. Connecting yourself spiritually to the things that are going on around you, sending out good vibes. And for people of faith, that might be a time of prayer. Meditation is excellent. A gratitude journal. You don't have to have a particular faith tradition or any faith tradition at all to think about three new things every day that make you feel grateful. When you do that, you start looking for things. And when you start looking for things that make you feel grateful, you feel more grateful. You feel more joyful. Spending money, but not on stuff. Spending money on experiences. That's really hard right now because so many things that we'd like to be experiencing, we can't right now because of COVID. But, you know, spending your money on some way of being out in the world, that can make you feel better. Decorating your space with things that make you feel hopeful, pictures of people who love you, mementos and tokens from people who tell you that you're important to them, things to look forward to. And I really believe that every person in the midst of this pandemic should be writing an after COVID list. You know, the things I'm going to do after COVID.
You're listening to Building Bridges, and we're talking with the chaplain at Otterbein University. As she continues to tell us about her hopeful plans for the future, post-pandemic, I'm reminded of what the famous Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh says, everything is impermanent, and we're hopeful that this pandemic is also impermanent. Have you considered what plans you might make for the future?
I decided while I was teaching a class last fall that my husband and I are going to Ireland in 2022. I hadn't told him that yet. He's on board with it. So we look up maps of Ireland and Airbnb, and there's something about concrete steps. We haven't paid for anything, but we're trying to save some money to go and doing some concrete planning. There's something really refreshing about that. Planning a place where we're going to put our feet that's different than the house we've been confined to for the last year. So there are lots of things people can do that will actually help increase and enhance their sense of well-being, in addition to those things that may be part of faith traditions for students on campus. We have kids on campus who are Christian. There are a lot of different denominations on campus. OCF continues to be the largest student organization on campus. We also have students who are Jewish and Buddhist and Hindu. We have students who are Wiccan. So for all of those students, there are different paths they can take within their own religious tradition that may be really helpful, particularly now when routines are so out of whack. And for students who are a little reluctant, I've put that down because I'm at college now, sometimes picking up the traditions and habits of your childhood can actually help you feel more connected to your own traditions and your own family, your own memories.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've encountered students before that have said, you know, I haven't done this in a really long time, but this feels like home. And I think hearing that on a campus is really important to create your new setting there with some familiar traditions. So what has helped you through this strange time as a professor and chaplain? You've talked about practices of meditation and things like that, but is there anything in particular that maybe a habit or something you've picked up during this time that has been really helpful for you?
I did pick up the gratitude journal. That became my Lenten practice this year. And it is making a big difference in the way I'm looking at the world every day, because I am paying attention. What am I going to write in my journal tonight? It means I need to pay clearer attention to the blessings and the good things that are happening every day. It's been a little challenging for me also because I have a strange disorder called superior semicircular canal dehiscence, which is a whole lot of syllables for saying I have a little hole in my inner ear that causes some balance problems and brain fog and fatigue. I'm waiting right now to be scheduled for surgery, hopefully in May. So to have that and the pandemic happening at the same time, it's hard to know where the COVID brain is the problem and where the SCDS brain is the problem. So I'm trying to rest and take care of myself. I'm trying to be kinder to myself about what I am able to do and make sure that I'm doing the best job I can given the circumstances right now. I have really lovely family. I'm going to be a grandma again. I get to see my grandson once a month or so. And so those things bring me joy. Also, as a professor, there's something really wonderful about being able to connect with students face-to-face, even if we're masked a couple times a week. And so that feeds my spirit. And then being able to work with those students who are really struggling has also just been really helpful, to be able to know that I can help, at least in terms of my class, with flexibility and grace so that they're able to get the work done, feel accomplished, and not feel so overpressured.
I think that's super important to bring attention to the amount of people that currently feel helpless in our world during this time that we've been told to stay home and to somewhat fear the other. And what I'm hearing from you, which is beautiful, is that you have access to those that need help. And so it creates a space for you to also feel connected to students in that way has had a profound effect for you, which I think is wonderful. And I think you would probably articulate that whether we were in COVID or not. But, right? I mean, I know you would really appreciate being with your students. Maybe at times we even take for granted those connections. And now I feel like as things open up and become more safe throughout our world, as we hope for that, I think we'll all be a whole lot more grateful for gatherings we have with people.
I think
and,
so.
And those connections, yeah. So is there anything that you think the students or staff need to know that they might not already know?
I think some of it is to remember what they do know, which is that this is temporary. A year begins to not feel temporary, but it is temporary. I don't think we're going to be living in a pandemic forevermore. I think there are things the pandemic can teach us. Nobody really wants to learn things if it means we have to be uncomfortable. but we have no choice right now. So learning from it, making meaning from it, can actually help us appreciate the time that we're going through. That can be really difficult. I also hope that the students and staff know that even if we're not able to be connected on a regular basis, that there are a lot of people on campus who are available to be helpful. Our counseling center staff is really good for any students who are listening. They have walk-in hours at 11 o'clock and 11:30 every day. If you're in a crisis, you can simply go to the counseling house and sit and wait for a counselor to be available. They will see you at least for a few minutes to get you started on being heard, which sometimes is really, really necessary. Our Dean of Student Affairs, Dawn Stewart, has Dawn time now. So if you want to meet with Dawn just to talk about what things are going on as a student, there are ways to connect with her on a weekly basis, just to check in with her. She's also the director of athletics. So for those athletes who are feeling like there's no place to turn, perhaps talking to somebody who understands the issues of an athlete would be really helpful. The Promise House continues to provide food and supplies to students. And I'm available. Anybody who wants to talk about anything, just send me an email and I will set up a time for us to sit in front of our computers, but connecting the best we can. I'm not a therapist or a counselor, but I'm a really good listener. And I care about your stories and will hold them as sacred while you're trying to figure things out. Those would be some things that I'd want students and staff to know. And the way I always end this is, don't be a jerk. You know, this is a hard time. It's a hard time for everybody. When you find yourself getting angry, and lashing out, just make sure that you're not lashing out at people who are also dealing with a lot. Do your best to be as kind and compassionate as you can be, and we will all get through this together.
Thank you for your insights. I thought it might be fun for our listeners to hear a little bit more about you personally. So I have some questions of curiosity for you. First question is, what is your favorite meal?
I have a lot of favorite meals. I have a lot of favorite meals, but my favorite meal is the one where my family is sitting around the table with me. And we usually eat something really good. You know, I've learned how to make a mean homemade lasagna with homemade pasta and a lovely bechamel sauce. And my daughter turned me onto that recipe and it's delicious. My son has asked for a homemade chicken Kiev for his birthday and that will be lovely. But it's not necessarily what's on the plate, it's who's around the table. And those meals are the ones that are really memorable. When we sit and linger over the table and just talk, those are great meals.
The most helpful advice you have received during the pandemic?
Breathe, breathe. And I mean that literally. Learning how to breathe deeply again, how to pay attention to your breathing. It reduces stress. It reduces your resting heart rate. It does a whole lot to just make you feel a little bit better in any particular moment. So as much as you can engage in some breathing exercises, do it. It doesn't take very long. You can be in the middle of class and do it. Nobody will look at you weird. Just breathing really does make a difference.
The last song you enjoyed listening to?
I don't know what it's called. We have Pandora on the TV. And right now it's on an Irish station because I like to listen to Irish music. Just before I started talking to you, there was some, it sounded like an Irish jig with people singing like metalheads. And it was the funniest cognitive dissonance. And I was really enjoying it. I have no idea who was singing it, but it was fun and and kind of funny. I'm not fun because I was really enjoying it, but it was, again, just a little different than I'd expect Celtic folk music to be.
That's awesome. You're getting revved up for your Irish vacation, right? The last book you read?
I have piles of books that I am in the process of reading. A Gentleman from Moscow was the last one I think I finished. And that was a sweet book. And then I read a lot of anti-racist stuff. Mm-hmm. Because of the work that I'm doing. The one I'm working through now is So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo. That one's been really helpful. It's a really nice primer for people who are beginning to think about how to be anti-racist.
What's a pet peeve of yours?
I don't like it when people say that their thinking is out of the box. That phrase drives me nuts. And there's been a grammar shift over the last 20 or 30 years. People will now say it's based off of something. And I'm thinking, no, you can base it on something, but you can't base it off of something. Just, you know, thinking of the physics of a thing, it can't be based off. But I've lost that battle because everybody's doing it now. So, but that's a pet peeve of mine.
I appreciate the Grammar Police t-shirts. I feel like I want to get a cohort of Grammar Police. I understand. What's your favorite sound?
My grandson laughing.
I figured. That's a pretty sweet sound.
Trying to say grandma.
Oh, I bet that's precious. What's one word that you would use to describe you in this moment?
I'm gonna admit to this. Tired. And I think there are a lot of people who are right now in the midst of this time just feel exhausted.
Yes, a nap is always around the corner and calling me. Partially because my office is in my bedroom.
That would be a dangerous thing for me to do.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for joining us as we continue our journey of building bridges, one connection at a time. I'm Lucy Kelly, and this podcast is from Church of the Master United Methodist, which borders Otterbein University in Westerville, Ohio. For more information about Church of the Master, you can find us online at chmaster.org. And for questions regarding this podcast, you can contact me at campus@chmaster.org. The song titled Bridge, which is featured on our podcast, was written and performed by Christopher Bowling, the Director of Music and Worship Arts at Church of the Master United Methodist.